Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, and welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott Benjamin.
And I'm Ben Bullen.
Ben, have you ever rented a car that you would call out of the ordinary?
Out of the ordinary is a phrase that goes both ways. I have been acquainted with some substandard rentals, but at this point, I have yet to rent a really amazing car.
So you've never gone there and said, you know, I'll take the 2013 Camaro convertible or anything like that. I don't want the RS. I want the SS version. I want the biggest SUV you've got. Anything like that.
Nothing. I have yet to do that.
Nothing really strange then. It's more like I'll have whatever your midsize option is.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. That's just kind of the boat that I'm in as well. You know, a couple of minivans here or there, some upgrades that happened just because they didn't have my car available, that
nice.
Type of thing. And, you know, most people, I think that's kind of the way it goes. But some people, when they go out of town, they have to try something unique, something different, right?
Something exotic.
Yeah, maybe. And, you know, exotic, that's a term that I don't know. Some people think like exotic to them would be renting that Mustang or renting the Camaro or renting, a giant SUV or something like that, right? Something
right.
unusual, a sports car maybe, of some kind. But other people take it to a greater extreme when they go out of town. They really want to show off. They really want to make an impression when they arrive somewhere at their hotel, at their class reunion, wherever it happens
sure.
to be.
Sure, the club, the...
Yeah, exactly.
The library and convention. Who knows?
Yeah, something. Yeah, wherever it happens to be that you're going. Some people, it's all about image. It's all about style. And there's a lot of other reasons I think that people may want to rent an exotic car or something unusual. And we'll talk about those today. But I kind of came across this article. I stumbled across this article in Popular Mechanics,
mm-hmm.
and it's a recent article. It's from September of this year, and it had some really surprising numbers to me. I'm so far removed from the world of exotic car rentals that I had no idea what these things were costing people.
Yeah, that's something that startled me when you were kind enough to show this article to me. It's very strange when you think about the amount of money people spend per day just to drive a car for one day, man.
Yeah, and they have good reasons. Some people have good reasons. Some people don't necessarily have a great reason for it, but they just do it. It's a matter of taste, I guess, right?
Yeah. And it's As we have said so often on our show, Scott, it gets to a point where you just have to say, well, it's your money.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's nothing, and it's nothing new, really.
No.
I mean, it's been around for a long time. I mean, if you go back to the 1980s, I guess, as well as this article points out, in 1988, it says you could rent a 1953 MGTD, or you could rent, a Ferrari 328 or a 1959 Cadillac Eldorado. And these were from private renters in California that,
right.
you know, they had these kind of babied cars that had been around for a while. And, you know, they were fun for weekend rentals. And I know that in Michigan, you can sometimes rent, classics for the Woodward Dream Cruise or something like that. You know, a lot of little, I want to say cottage industries, I guess, pop up that people have these things and they say, well, I'll rent them to you for that specific weekend for X number of dollars, whether it's $500, $600, whatever it is, $1,000. And it's just for that one weekend, and then it kind of shuts down.
Yeah, and the guy who one of the guys who runs a company that we're going to talk about in a little while, he started out the same way.
Yeah, he rented how did he start out? He started out with his own private car, right?
Right. He had a Porsche 911. This is Sam Zaman.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm mispronouncing that. Zaman. He started out just as you were saying, Scott, cottage industry kind of thing. People loved his Porsche 911 so much that they would say, hey, I'm sure it started this way. I'm sure it started with like, let me drive it around the block, buddy. And then, hey, can I borrow your car? And then maybe it got to a point where he said, yes, you can, but not for free.
Yeah, I mean, you can fill it up with gas and bring it back, but you know what? It's going to cost a little bit more. How about $100 too? Because I'm just out in my vehicle for the day and I have to do something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he probably started that way or whatever it was, and then it slowly built up from there. He realized there was a market for it, and he's not the first guy to do this. I mean, this has been happening all over the place, you know, for a long time. Obviously, I mean, going back to the early 80s when they were renting what we would call classic cars, even back then.
Yeah.
You know, this whole idea, this idea that you can drive a car for a day, you can be a big shot for a day, that's nothing new.
Absolutely not a new thing. It is, however, a popular thing, and what we should probably talk about right now, what's on all every listener's mind right now is, can I rent a, you know, Bugatti Veyron or something in my town?
Well, I guess you'd have to do an extensive online search to find out if that's possible. If you live in a big city, there's a very good chance that you can rent something exotic, something unique, in that city. Now, places like LA or Miami, Vegas, of course, Atlanta here in Georgia.
Sure.
Texas, you know, like Dallas, Houston area.
Probably New York.
Yeah, probably New York. Somewhere in downtown New York, I'm sure there's, or near downtown, there's probably some exotic rentals around. But anywhere really, I mean, anywhere you can imagine that has a large city population, a large, I guess, group of people that might be potential customers for something like this.
Right, like a large, wealthy population?
Yes, exactly.
Is one way to say it.
Yeah, I mean, even though there's lots of wealthy people out in rural areas, you're just not going to find that much of a need for exotic car rentals out in, let's say, in the middle of nowhere in Kansas somewhere.
Yeah, well, those Kansas billionaires probably already own the cars they want to own.
Well, that's the thing. See,
yeah.
They probably do. And down in the city, you know, a lot of people don't even own a car to begin with.
Right.
So this may be their one shot at driving all year long, and they're going to step into a Ferrari or something like that, something crazy for that one day.
You know, and I can see situations where this would be a lot of fun. It would be, we said that people do this for a number of reasons. One of the most fun things that I can imagine is you go on vacation with your friends or something. That's something that could be a lot of fun to just take a, you know, get the Countach and then just drive it around the city. Personally, although I can see it would be a lot of fun, I would not be comfortable driving it unless I owned it. I'm one of those guys who doesn't play with anything I can't afford to replace.
I'm the same exact way. I won't drive a friend's car. I rarely drive a friend's car. I'm really nervous about stuff like
that. Scott, I don't even hold babies.
I try not to hold babies. That's another thing. Yeah. The thing is, I've got a list of pros and cons. I've also got some reasons why somebody may want to rent an exotic car. We'll get to all that.
Yeah.
And we've got prices. I promise we're going to get the prices.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk turkey.
Some of these will just curl your toes. I mean, they're big time money for these things for a day rental. But let's talk about the cars maybe. Some of the cars are an idea of what we're talking about, because the cars themselves are really pretty amazing, the list.
Oh yeah. So Porsche 911 is one thing that we had mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
You can also, depending on the company you go with, because we'll find there are multiple companies, you can get stuff like a Bentley Continental GTC.
Yeah, or a Ferrari 458 Spider, or a Tesla Model S, which doesn't sound all that exotic, but it's a brand new car and not a lot of people have access to them.
Yeah, that's true. And then one of my favorites, a Rolls-Royce Ghost.
Oh, that's a cool one. Yeah, Fisker Karma. I guess there's, you know, the big Audi, the R8 V10.
Mm-hmm.
Lamborghini, of course, Mercedes. Really just about anything. The Porsche 911 Turbo that you mentioned. I mean, these are cars that are, you know, well above, you know, six figures.
Yeah.
And most people aren't going to be able to put the kind of scratch together necessary to buy something like that on their own, nor would they want to, really. And that's, again, man, I keep getting into this, but this
scratch.
is going to be, yeah, that's right, the scratch. So we're going to get into some of the pros and cons, and that's one of the cons, but,
yeah.
I guess, man, I think the biggest customers for these, I mean, as far as this article, and I've been trying to figure this out and look around and see who's really renting these things and see who, you know, the owners of these places have, you know, made comments to local newspapers and things like that. I found clippings here and there online. And, it seems that they're going to European vacationers, which I don't understand exactly why European vacationers are a bigger target than anybody else really, but, these are potential customers. Middle Eastern or Latin American businessmen like to rent these exotics. Car nuts, of course. Anybody who's really, really into cars.
Yes.
I can totally understand that. People with like a bucket list that go on vacation, you know, I want to do this once in my life and this is my chance, so I'm going
to
do it.
Right. Like I've always wanted to go to Caesar's Palace or something in a Lamborghini.
Exactly. Yeah. These vacationers that, you know, this is like their one-shot deal, or, you know, maybe they received it as a gift from somebody.
I could see it for prom.
Yeah, I could too. That would be is that a good idea or not, Ben?
That's a horrible idea.
That's an 18-year-old in an exotic car.
Yeah.
Unless it's a chauffeured situation, you know, someone's chauffeuring them in a Rolls-Royce Silver Ghost.
Yeah, like coolest parents ever.
That would be pretty cool. You know what? Can I just a little sidebar? This is unintentional.
What's up?
My neighbor just went to homecoming. her, they have, you know, she's that age in high school, younger, but in high school. And, I saw her dad's car parked outside, and he's one of my favorite neighbors, by the way.
Uh-huh.
He has his dad's Model A that he's restored himself.
What?
And he brings it out for special occasions, and I guess, you know, homecoming was a special occasion this year, so he brought it out. They took, you know, I saw them in the driveway. They're taking photos next to it, the couple all dressed up and everything, and the car looks beautiful, by the way. The car is awesome. And the father then chauffeurs them to the dance and back home in that car, which I thought was really cool. You know, they go out to dinner and do their other stuff, but then they come back to the house, they got in the car, and he drives them to the dance, lets them out as, you know, chauffeur style in this Model A that was his father's car, and then brings them home in the same vehicle.
All right, two points we do have to make with that sidebar. First, that is really cool, and I'd love to see photos of the car. Second, that's happening around the age when kids don't want to be seen in public too often with their parents.
Well,
right?
That's true, I guess, but kind of, I don't know. I mean, it's a good solution.
It's a clever, classy solution because he knows that they're not going to be out raising Cain.
Ah, see, that's what I think, too. I think that was a good move on dad's part, right?
Yeah, that's a total dad move.
It really was.
But not everybody is lucky enough to be related to someone who has Model A.
No. I mean, there's also like, well, there's celebrities, there's CEOs, there's athletes. Athletes do this. They rent cars, which you wouldn't really think. You think they just buy a car with these multi-million-dollar contracts.
Well,
but they're downsized to that too. So, you know, these rental situations, I mean, it works for some people.
Yeah, it does work for some people. And especially, here's something I thought about. What if you are in sales and you have to make a good impression on a client? What if you're a lawyer and you have to make a good impression on a client? Maybe going with a fancy car for one day is a good way to do it. But I would warn anybody who practices that sort of tacit deception, eventually they'll find out it's not your car.
It does catch up to you.
Yeah.
It really does. And that goes for anybody that does it, you know, going to class reunion, something like that.
Right.
The word catches up with you pretty quick.
But, that's just a larger point maybe about, our philosophy about transparency, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
But, with all of that being said, if I had the scratch, which is my new favorite word for cash today.
Sure.
If I had the scratch or the cheese, the doubloons, I would definitely check out some of these cars. I would go for the Rolls-Royce Phantom.
I think I would go a little more towards the exotic. If I was renting something, I'd probably bend towards a Ferrari, something like that.
Yeah.
I know that I can't afford maintenance on these things, so this is my only chance to really drive something like that.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, no matter how affordable some used Ferrari becomes in the future, I know that I still have to kind of hang onto my wallet and say, no way, because I know it's going to cost me $20,000 a year in whatever type of maintenance it is. And some kind of crazy, you know, mechanical maintenance that I had no idea had to happen at that point. So, you know, it does happen. Things like that do happen. So we've got a couple of exotic car rental prices per day that I think maybe we should share with our listeners, because some of these are ridiculously high. Now I know you got to kind of look at this with a different set of eyes and saying, well, you know, this is one day only. You're not really paying for the overall price of the car. You're paying for the privilege of driving it.
Right.
You're not paying for the maintenance. You're not paying for the storage. You're not paying for any of that. You're just paying for the one day to drive it and then fill up the tank when you bring it back, right?
And we have a podcast about renting cars that people should also check out in addition to this.
Yeah, it's all about the excitement. It's about the thrill. It's about doing something that you wouldn't normally do, right? I mean, it's not something that you're going to do weekly or monthly or whatever, but, okay, let's start out with something that is, I guess it wouldn't really be an exotic, but I just want to kind of set a baseline here, okay?
Okay, are we talking maybe Camaros or Mustangs?
Yes, exactly. And, they're relatively low in price, right?
Yes, sir. $87 a day.
Now, that's not exceedingly high. That's high compared to other rental cars.
Yeah.
Let's say you want to get a mid-size sedan, or you want to get a compact car. You're going to pay $19.99 a day or $29.99 a day, something like that. But this is stepping up quite a bit. I mean, that's, you know, two or three times the price of a typical rental car. If you just say, I want the smallest car you've got.
Right. And this also, of course, this also doesn't count things that might be additional fees, such as excess miles over a certain threshold.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, there's all that stuff that, you know, we brought up in our rental car podcast. But the base rate, I guess, is $87 a day. All right.
Okay.
So let's take a step up from that. Let's go to the Porsche Boxster.
Oh, okay.
And this one starts just a little bit higher, doesn't it, Ben?
Yeah, just a bit, Scott. It's $450 a day.
Okay, so that's and these are just one example. It's from, again, this is from the article from Popular Mechanics, and these are the examples that they gave. I don't know exactly specifically where, if it was Gotham Rentals or where they went for these, but the Porsche Boxster at $450 a day, is that a bargain? I don't know. I mean, it sure would be fun to drive one.
Yeah, that price comes from a place called Lulavie.
Oh, okay.
And the Camaro and Mustang quote is from Black and White Rentals.
Okay, so these are going to be from all different places, over the place. So anyways, $450 a day for Porsche Boxster. I don't know. I don't know if I would pay that or not to drive a Porsche Boxster. I might try to find a friend who has one and see if I could borrow it.
Yeah, honestly, I don't think I would.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not.
See, here's the thing. It feels like this is a whole nine yards situation. You can't go 8.5 yards. If you're already going to spend the cheese to drive an exotic car that you would not usually drive, then it's kind of half measure to get a box.
All right. Well, I understand what you're saying, but wait until you hear some of the numbers that I'm going to bring up next, because $450 sounds pretty darn reasonable compared to the Bentley Continental GTC, which rents at just under $1,000 per weekday rental. And now that's weekday, right? I said weekday.
Oh, yeah. Scott, and that's from Gotham Dream Cars. Scott, how much would that cost me on a Saturday?
It more than doubles on the weekend. Yep. It goes up to $2,250. For a weekday rental, or I'm sorry, weekend rental. So $1,000 weekday rental, $2,250 for a weekend rental. Man, I just can't imagine doing that. I can't imagine wanting to make such an impression on somebody that I rent something for $5,000 for a weekend.
But it doesn't stop there. Because what if that Continental's just not doing it? What if you feel like that's kind of, I don't know, a little bit low rent?
How about the Ferrari 458 Spider that we mentioned before? And that is even more than that. That is $2,800 per day.
And those are American dollars, not Zimbabwe.
Yeah, USD. For a 458 Spider, $2,800 per day. Now, is that worth it? Again, it's entirely up to you. I mean, everybody's going to have a different answer to that. Yes, no. Some people are going to be saying, of course that's worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, how could you not want to drive a Ferrari for, you know, I'll throw down $3,000 for that.
Right. And that's not even the top of the list. Before we get to the top of the list, though, I think there's something important that we need to talk about.
What's it?
And with that, we are back to one of the top tier rentals, right?
Yeah. I'm going to get one more before I get to the ultimate top.
Okay.
But you can maybe think ahead and decide what might be the ultimate rental car. But just to give you an idea, one step below this is the Lamborghini Aventador. Which is an incredible car. It's an amazing car.
I'm very vulnerable to the context of things. So the idea that we're already talking about the Porsche Boxster is only $450 a day.
Yeah.
To me, it seems like a bargain now, even though that's also scandalous if I'm at a regular rental place.
That's an absolute bargain, Ben, when you think about renting this Lamborghini, because this one is $5,500 per day. Now, I know it just raised your eyebrows at me because that's an extremely steep price, right?
Yeah. And that's not even counting one thing we should mention later, which is the security deposit that you have to give.
Definitely. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
We'll get to the security deposit.
But
$5,500 per day.
Wow.
You can't even say it. You can't even say the words.
I am getting a little choked up.
You're choked up on the words. Well, wait till we get to number one. Are you ready for it?
Yeah, lay it on me, man.
Well, I think our listeners may already understand what this one is. And you want to guess the vehicle?
Yeah, I'll guess. Oh. I think I might know.
Oh, what is it?
Is it a Bugatti Veyron?
It is a Bugatti Veyron.
Oh, man. I'm raising my arms in the studio like I won Jeopardy.
Like he's the champion of all things car stuff. Okay, so you've guessed right. It is the Bugatti Veyron. Now, this example, you have to go to London to rent it, okay? So you're in London.
All right.
You've got a party to go to that night. You want to show up. You want to make an entrance, right?
The Corolla's not going to cut it.
So you've got this Bugatti Veyron that you rented. Get this, Ben. $26,000 per day. $26,000 per day.
I have no response. I cannot imagine spending $26,000 for a day on one car.
I wonder if you can get a weekly discount.
I don't know. You know, like if somebody, that's a good question. If somebody says, well, I'm going to be in town for a month on business or whatever, and I just want to rent the Veyron for a month, what's the best price you can give
me? Well, for $450,000, and that's a deep discount for a full month.
Yeah.
We'll let you have that car.
Wow.
What a deal. No, I mean, I'm making that number up. I don't know
right.
if they would do that or not. It might be a straight $26,000 per day for 30 days, whatever that math works out to be. But $26,000 per day, I can't imagine ever wanting something so badly that I would spend $26,000 for one day of use and then have to turn it back over.
Oh, yeah, because it is renting.
Yeah.
I mean, the price does make sense because we know that all of the maintenance points you've made about sports cars or exotic cars are – an order of magnitude more correct with the Bugatti.
Correct.
It's the maintenance on there alone probably is tremendously expensive to the rental company.
Yeah, the cost of ownership, I mean, beyond just the, you know, whatever it cost you initially and all the other stuff, I guess maybe cost of ownership isn't the way to say that. The yearly maintenance, the upkeep, I guess, you know, that is where it gets you. It's the same thing. This reminds me of like owning a yacht or something like that. You know,
right.
the cost of owning a yacht every year, the maintenance and the upkeep and all that stuff that goes into it. You really have to really think, is it really worth it to own that thing? You know, is it really worth all the headache and hassle?
Yeah.
But I also want to point something out. Now, a lot of people get kind of jealous when they hear numbers like this. Like somebody is renting that Bugatti Veyron for $26,000 a day, and they're not even flinching.
Right.
But the reason is because they have so much money to begin with. They make so much money that you know, whatever the account that they're going to get is worth so much money that they don't mind spending that $26,000. It's all proportional.
Or you maybe know, they want to just drive it around for a day before they plunk down the million to buy it.
That could be. You know, I thought about that too. That's a pro and con thing
okay.
that I've got. But you know, I understand what you're saying. It's all proportional. You know, it's like, you know, they won't even feel that $26,000 missing from their account when they do say, you know, sure, just charge that or whatever. You know,
sure.
I'll write you a check because I have more than that in my checking account. That's what they do. You can't really be upset about something like that. You know, when we go back to some of the lower level cars, I guess, and man, I hate to call them lower level cars,
yeah.
but like the Porsche, the Bentley, the Ferrari, the Lamborghini, you can expect to have to put down a pretty big security deposit on these things.
Right. That's a good point. For instance, looking at just the Rolls-Royce Phantom from Gotham Dream, that's a security deposit of $5,000. No matter what.
Yeah. So you have to have that much free on a credit card or something like that, you know, just to be able to, or I guess you could give them cash.
What I like to do is bring two suitcases. That way, they don't know which one is the security deposit cash and which one's the cash for the car that
that's
I would
a,
like
that's
to buy.
That's an excellent plan, Ben.
Yeah.
Excellent
I call it, plan. Ben's two suitcase strategy.
Yeah, I'm sure you don't look like much of a target on the street carrying two suitcases that are, what, are they handcuffed to your arms?
They're both handcuffed.
Of course.
To my arms.
Of course they are. Yeah. Yeah. You know, people just cut your hands off. Okay. So, all right. So, the security deposit you can expect. I mean, I think that's not out of line for the other vehicles as well. Let's say you're going to rent you're going to rent the Bentley for $2,250 a day. You also, in addition to that, have to have the $5,000 open on a credit card that you give them, you know, the impression of. And, that's something I want to talk about too, and I think that's a big deal. That's just for small damage.
Right.
That's if you park in a parking lot and someone opens a door into the fender, or if you scuff a wheel when you're parking it.
Yeah, that's dings and scuffs.
Yeah, I mean if you scuff a wheel on these things, you got to remember that a wheel may cost you $2,250 as well. They're very, very expensive, or more. You know, they could be $3,000 range for something like that to be repaired.
Yeah.
So you got to be extremely, extremely careful. So you know, you don't think of the cost of each individual component when you're picking something like that up or you're driving off the lot. You're thinking, you know, this is going to be a fun day. I'm going to have an exciting time in this
right.
car. Whatever I'm going to do, but. You don't think that, you know, what if I bump the wheel against the curb when I'm leaving this place? Or when I come back, you know, what if I drive over one of those severe tire damage spikes
yeah.
on the way back in? You know, something like that could happen. Hopefully it won't. Someone rear-ends you in traffic.
You have no control over that.
Yeah, exactly. No control over stuff like that. So
there is one other advantage we should mention.
What's that?
I'm sorry to interrupt. One thing that folds in with the price is that a lot of these companies factor in teaching you how to operate the car. So that's part of the cost.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean,
for people who aren't familiar, like, let's say Joe Smith in Toronto is flying to Los Angeles, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the first time, and he always wanted to drive a Ferrari down Hollywood Boulevard or something. Then part of the price in of that rental would involve them teaching him how to use, for instance, the electronic shifter in the Ferrari.
Okay, understood. So he can shift it properly and be able to use that and operate it in the right way.
Yeah, and that's not like racetrack training, you know. It's not at that level of sophistication. It's just how not to break the toy.
I think I do want to, I want to mention that also in my pros and cons. Man, there's a lot that's going to be coming up in my pros cons section here.
All right. Yeah.
All right. So, you know what? Before we go on, and I've got just one more little side note thing that I want to mention quickly. Okay.
Yes.
I was looking up, Bugatti Veyron information because I'm just fascinated by the car. I think it's
an
interesting.
Amazing machine.
I was watching that top speed run that the Top Gear guy did thing at on the German track. And, you know, it just kind of went from there, you know, down the rabbit hole into different articles and interesting things about the Veyron. And I came across this thing that's, the 10 most expensive vehicles to operate. And, coming in at number 10 is the Bugatti Veyron.
What?
Number 10, yeah. I mean, but it doesn't include, this isn't just cars.
Right, so one would be like an excavation truck or something.
Bigger than that, but I'll tell you in a second. I'll tell you what number one is if you like. But number 10 is a Bugatti Veyron. The cost per mile to drive a Bugatti Veyron is about $18 per mile. That's what you pay in order to drive it. This is if you own one, okay?
Yeah.
And I had kind of a baseline to look this up against. The driving costs study that I looked up through AAA, based on driving about 15,000 miles annually, and that doesn't match up with the Bugatti Veyron, by the way. You drive far less miles in the Veyron. The cost per mile to drive like a small sedan is about 46 cents per mile.
Wow.
That's the average.
Wow. That
and,
adds up so quickly.
Yeah, exactly. Medium sized sedan is 61 cents, large 75. Average is about 60 cents. So imagine parent paying, you know, 60 cents to operate your car now, whatever it is, because that's just kind of a baseline average that AAA has put together.
Yeah.
All vehicles, that's cars, SUVs, minivans, everything put together, about 60 cents. The cost to drive a Veyron around town all year long is about $18 per mile if you own the car. And then to own one, you have to have at least $350,000 for your down payment. Just if you're leasing one, not owning one, which it'll cost you about $24,000 for a month, which is not bad, I guess, when you consider that they're running it for $26,000 for a day at this London place.
Yeah.
But that's only that lease is 2,500 miles per year. So, you know, on a typical lease, you get on a bad one, I guess you would get 10,000.
Right.
On a
least.
Good one, you would get 14,000 or 15,000, something like that, which is more real world. You know, people are going to be driving that 2,500 miles for that $24,000 a month. I think it's cost you $40,000 in delivery fees just to have it shipped to wherever you are, because there's certain things that they have to do, like maintenance and not maintenance, I'm sorry, but there's a detail set of rules that come with this thing. And what I was going to say is part of that is detailing the car when it arrives on the shore,
right, yeah,
before delivery and all that stuff. You know, there's a lot of pre-delivery type stuff that goes along with it. And then just quickly, and I'll be done with this list, but so that was number 10.
Yeah.
Right. $18 a mile. Just to give you an idea of what kind of list this car falls onto, the Queen Mary 2 is number 9 at $245 per mile. Air Force One is about $306 per mile. The Space Shuttle is at $390 per mile.
Oh man. Okay.
International Space Station, NASA Crawler, Saturn V rocket, the Nimitz aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
That's about $2,600 per mile.
Wow.
Top Fuel Dragsters come in at number 2. Believe it or not, a Top Fuel Dragster costs more to run than the Nimitz aircraft carrier per mile.
More to run than the space station?
Get this, Ben.
Okay.
A Top Fuel Dragster, the cost per mile is about $21,000 per mile.
Oh, man.
Because it's gauged in quarter-mile runs.
Yeah.
And the teardowns and the equipment that they use and the fuel that they use and all that stuff, it just adds up. The only thing that's more expensive than that is the Apollo Lunar Roving Vehicle. the Lunar Roving Vehicle, which, of course, you know, didn't travel very far, $5.9 billion per mile.
What?
$5.9 billion per mile.
We should start a business renting lunar rovers.
Oh, that would be the business to be in, but, man, per mile. We'd have to do it per mile, not per day.
Yeah, we charge per mile.
Exactly.
Just a couple billion.
Man, sorry I went off on that tangent.
No, that's a good tangent, and I'm glad that you mentioned it, because one thing that we have to establish is that this is sort of a rarefied market, you know?
Definitely.
This is not an everyman market. And there's a great question in the article on in Popular Mechanics where they ask, can anyone do this? And the requirements are surprisingly simple. Just don't have bad stuff on your record, have a valid driver's license, and have the cash.
Seems easy enough, right?
Have your own, you also have to have your own insurance policy.
Yeah, of course, yeah. And, you know, I guess you'd want to look in to make sure that you've got rental car insurance on that policy, et cetera. You know, and I think that they probably do that for you because, you know, at these higher-end places, and they're gonna give you something that's, in way above six figures for the day. They don't know who you are, really. I mean, you could be showing up with bogus documents. They're gonna check and double check and maybe even triple check your paperwork and everything to make sure it's all in order, that the money truly is available. They're not gonna lose their shirt on one rental, that's for sure.
And, let's also talk a little bit about before we get to the pros and cons, mm-hmm. which I know I keep putting off,
sure.
Let's talk about the difference between some of the car rental companies. So I went on Yelp and, for anybody who is not familiar with Yelp, Yelp.com is a review site, essentially. So they review businesses in throughout the United States and other countries, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you go to say, oh, I really like this McDonald's, but oh, I hate this, I don't know, hardware store or something. And they have reviews for some of these companies as well. I checked out Black and White, which gets pretty good reviews. I checked out Gotham, which doesn't get as great reviews as Black and White. I'm just checking those because they were both brought up in Popular Mechanics. This is a good way where you can read about people's experiences driving. I'm just going to point out one thing here. I want to read some lines from one of these reviews for Gotham Dream, okay? This guy says, I did the sprint in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania over the weekend and wanted to write a review of my experience because it was different from what I read on Yelp prior to going. Now, take a note here. They have what they call a tour package you could buy, or they have what they call a sprint package you could buy. And the sprint package is kind of like where you're just buying racetrack time.
Oh, okay. Got
it.
So
you're buying drive time.
Yeah, sure. Like a track day event.
Exactly. So this guy says he got this from, Groupon, right? That's how he got to it. He said, no, it's not a racetrack. I didn't expect a racetrack because I read the fine print. Yes, you have to pay sales tax, just like you pay sales tax using your Groupon at a restaurant or a spa. It was a short drive. I had, the wait was about an hour. It was in the parking lot of a casino. One of my friends asked why the wait was so long. They explained the casino didn't clear the parking lot like they were supposed to. So they got started late. He said it wasn't that bad. He got in a Lamborghini. The instructor was straightforward, explained stuff. And so he took this course. But the thing is that some people have complained. They're like, oh, I'm not able to get the full performance out of it. They won't let me go fast enough. And also, I think people would be a little surprised because if you're paying this much money, need to make sure that you're getting exactly what you want.
Well, you know, like you said, that guy read the fine print and he knew it wasn't a race course. He knew he wasn't taking it out on city streets. I guess the downside was that, you know, things weren't set up exactly the way that they said they would be. But, you know, he probably didn't pay $5,500 also to drive that Lamborghini for the day. He probably paid maybe a couple hundred dollars in order to take it around what amounts to probably like an autocross course with cones and things like that, right? Because they don't want you just driving anywhere in the parking lot doing whatever because who knows what somebody's going to do. I mean, they may launch off and just do a bunch of donuts and burnouts and then, you know, that's it for the rest of the day. The car's shot, you know, the tires are shot or whatever. So, I guess the devil's in the details, I guess, Ben. You know, if you don't pay attention to, you know, exactly what that ad says, because they're going to tell you, and I guess maybe you have to do a little bit more digging, I suppose, just to find out, like, okay, you say it's a track day event, is it, what track am I going to? And they'll say, well, it's not really a track, it's a track we set up at X Casino, so there you go. Yeah, exactly.
I wanted to put that across to establish that a lot of the burden of, I guess the burden of research should be on you as the customer. As it goes with any other kind of rental establishment,
mm-hmm.
which I think segues naturally, if you're ready, the pros and cons.
Oh, why not? We've already touched on a lot of these, and I think, you know, I don't want to get too preachy about any of this stuff or anything because, you know, if you want to do this, do it. We're not by any means discouraging anybody. I think it's a fantastic thing to do. I mean, it would be a lot of fun, and in fact, that's my number one pro, is that it would be extremely fun to do something like this. I mean, just if you had the money laying around, if you had the green, you said you wanted to go and do it, put down your $5,000 or whatever and have your $5,000 on hold and on a credit card and just go out and have a blast somewhere. You know, go out in the mountains and drive or drive through the city and just show off or whatever you're going to do.
Yeah. Or if it's a, you know, if it's a big dream of yours, then you absolutely should, because let's face it, the hard truth of the matter is that the vast majority of the world will never be able to afford to buy some of these cars.
No, exactly. I mean,
but maybe you could save up and drive one for a while.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah, like they said, you know, be a big shot for one day is what the article said, I think.
Yeah,
right?
So, and it is fun.
Understood. So, you know, it's a lot of fun. It's an adrenaline rush. That's another pro, I think. We mentioned so many times that it could be just a once-in-a-lifetime experience for some people, although it could be addictive, and that could be trouble, right?
Oh, yeah, the thing that's coming up next, hopefully, well, in the September article was frequent rider clubs.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, there's something about that too. So, but I mean, it could be addictive, and before you know it, you know, you're all strung out. Your friends don't even recognize you anymore. you got a $2,000 a day habit. You know, people don't recognize you because you're dressing all fancy and your jack thread stuff.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So, you know, it could be a big problem for
you're
you.
You're always
right?
in a Lamborghini.
Exactly.
The family has to intervene.
That's right. They don't even know who you are anymore, right?
Yeah. When's the last time you washed your Datsun?
Yeah, my habit's up to $3,000 a day now. I don't know what to do. All right. So also, you know, this is, I guess a pro would be if you like this kind of thing, you can get a lot of attention in a car like this. You know,
absolutely.
You could make a grand appearance somewhere if you wanted to, like at that class reunion that we mentioned. Or, yeah. You know, if you want a jackpot in Vegas and you want to show up to the casino, you know, in that car, have them valet park it.
You could meet your future ex-wife.
Very clever, Ben. Yes, you could. Yeah. So also, you know, another pro is that you could drive with no, you know, related costs, I guess, no maintenance costs.
That's a huge one.
You know, I mentioned the super high maintenance on some of these exotic cars, and if you ever looked into it, just kind of do an online search about what it costs to, let's say, replace a timing belt on a Ferrari, something like that. Find out exactly how much that is. Is there an exhaust system, or, you know, all new, you know, four new tires on something like that?
Or if you haven't heard it yet, check out our podcast on the world's most expensive oil change.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There's even more extreme examples, right? So, yeah, I mean, yes, I understand it's expensive, but it's also much cheaper. And this is a pro in my
eyes. Yes.
It's much cheaper to rent one for a day or a couple days or a week or whatever than it is to outright buy one of these cars.
Absolutely.
All right. So
time
that's,
for the cons.
That's it. That's it. Time for the cons. And a lot of these have a lot to do with the pros. I mean, they're kind of the antithesis of that.
Yeah,
I mean,
the other side of the coin.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's liability that you have to be concerned about, of course.
Oh, huge, huge. Don't drive it if you can't break it.
Well, the thing is, Ben, a lot of these cars are literally worth more than the house that the people are renting them from own. You know,
yeah.
Like let's say that, you know, you go to rent a Ferrari 458 and that costs more than your house. What's going to happen when, you know, you bend that thing around a tree?
Right. And people have been in accidents before riding these cars. Another thing that I would point out as a con is that you can't expect to hop into a top of the line beast of a car and have it drive the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So there could be a little bit of danger just in the lack of familiarity.
Ben, you're almost like you're reading my mind. That's my biggest con.
Oh,
but,
sorry.
That's good. I mean, it's good that you're bringing that up, but let me mention one quick thing and then we'll go on to that.
Yeah, yeah.
Cause that's an important point. Rental locations are in crowded cities. That was my only other con really, is that you're going to rent these things. You're going to be in congested areas. Typically you can escape to the mountains. You can escape to the desert or wherever. If you're in Vegas, you can get out there, but it's going to take you half the day to get there and half the day to get back. So you got to think about that. Now, Ben, I'm so glad that you said that. You know, I was already kind of smiling when you said it, but you've really got to be ready when you step into that car to be able to drive it. And that's something that these rental places won't do for you. They can't give you the, you know, 1 to 3 day driving courses that the manufacturers offer when you buy that as a new car.
That's a great point.
Cause they do want you to be ready for it when you own it. They want you to, you know, understand that car. They want you to feel okay in that car. They want you to realize what you have underneath you.
Yeah, they don't want you to die driving from the purchase point.
No, exactly. I mean, you shouldn't, like you said, I mean, you shouldn't be able to, expect to jump from your Nissan Sentra, and I'm not picking on Nissan, I'm saying jumping from a typical sedan into, Ferrari and expect to drive like Michael Schumacher, which I think a lot of people have a vision in their head. It's going to be like that. I'm going to slide this thing around every turn. It's going to be so great.
It's going to drift everywhere.
Exactly. And you're going to be perfect at it, right? Well, the reality is you probably are going to slide out and spin around, into a 180, and then someone's going to hit you, or you're going to just look like a jerk or a fool, So you got to be careful. You got to kind of know what you're doing. And maybe the second or third time you run it, you're better at it, that type of thing. So, and I don't want to discourage people, but these cons, I mean, I think it's something you got to think about that, a lot of people really, and I know that in your head, you're thinking you're ready for it. But when you get into the seat of a car that has 800 horsepower or something like that, you've got to know what you're doing. It's not something that is intuitive to you. It's completely different.
Now, also, we have to acknowledge that a lot of the people renting these cars may already be familiar.
Yes.
To some degree. So one of the things mentioned in the article would be people who own exotic cars, but they're traveling for business and they want to keep with the car that they are familiar with.
How nice, right? I mean, if you own a Ferrari 458 Spider and you go to a new town and you're not really comfortable driving in that minivan.
I'm accustomed to a certain quality automotive, right?
That's probably exactly the way they would sound, Ben, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
So,
wow.
Yeah, exactly like that. So, they say, well, like, I would like to drive the same car, drive it home, maybe a different color. That's fine. But, the same vehicle or something comparable.
Something tells me that's a minority of their business, though.
I would think so. Okay. Definitely. So, we mentioned bucket list people. We mentioned people like going to show up to class reunions or vacation cars. Both of those are kind of to show off, I guess. Vegas jackpot, I think, is another one. We see a lot of people in Vegas driving in exotic rental cars.
Absolutely.
Clearly, they've got them there for the day, but, whatever. It's still fun, right?
Yeah, if I was in a foreign country, I think that would be a lot of fun. And so I can see the European vacationer thing.
I guess so. Yeah, I understand. And I also kind of understand, if somebody wants to drive one to kind of see how it feels. Now, this is maybe the last thing that I have on this topic. So if you got anything else, Ben, bring it up now, because I've got just...
Is this the thing that you and Christian from Stuff of Genius talked about?
It is, yeah. Okay. And I thought this was really interesting, and I hadn't really thought about doing this, or maybe just in a different way, I guess. We had this kind of email back and forth about something he was working on, like a show about oil or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And at the end of that conversation back and forth, he mentioned that he was thinking about renting a pony car. Just locally. He's got some kind of fascination with pony cars, and I fully understand that. I get it. So he's got this fascination with them, and he said, I was just thinking about locally one day, maybe or during a weekend, right here in town, not traveling anywhere, but, here at my house, I was thinking about renting a pony car for the weekend and just trying it out, just seeing if I really like it, maybe kind of getting it out of my system.
Absolutely.
That you see what it feels like, because I'm kind of tired of my car. It's not that it's bad. I just want to see what it's like. And I replied with, I think it's a fantastic idea, because why not? I mean, for $80 a day or whatever, and you don't have all the pressures of being in a new city where you don't know where you're going. You know all the roads. You know where you want to go in it. You can take it home and really kind of give the thing a once over, what you like, what you don't like.
Yeah.
You're not under that kind of, I don't know, vacation pressure, I guess, maybe.
Right. Yeah. The weird pressure to have fun.
Yeah, I guess so. And I was thinking more like, you're going to be out driving it in places you're not familiar with and not really able to enjoy it.
Yeah, you'll be on a schedule and a vacation schedule.
Yeah, and you could directly compare your car to that car then and how it feels on certain roads. Uh-huh. And it's a really fantastic way to do it. I was thinking, what a good idea that Christian had. And I said, if you really wanted to go into this, you could rent one of each of the kind of pony cars that are available now. You could rent a Mustang, you'd rent a Challenger, you could rent a Camaro. And see which one you like best. And then if you were trying to buy one, that's an easy way for you to do all that, simple. And, it's not just a 1 hour test drive or, even a 15 minute test drive.
Right.
This is a full day or maybe even a full weekend of driving.
And you can look under the hood. You can get under the car and check out what kind of maintenance you would be looking at if you bought one. I think that's a fantastic, point, Scott. That's a really good way to comparison shop.
Well, I thought it was a great idea, and he brought it up, and I thought it was just something that I definitely wanted to include here. I mean, it really is. There's a lot of benefits to it, I mean, that we mentioned, but you don't have to just rent cars on vacation or when you go out of town.
Yeah.
You could also rent a car just to kind of try it out, I suppose.
Yeah, you could rent a car to come visit us in the office and then let us drive it around the block.
But I still wouldn't. Too much liability for me.
You wouldn't at least ride shotgun?
Not in somebody else's rental car, no.
All right. Well, that plan didn't work, so we're going to go back to the drawing board. But this sews it up for us today, ladies and gentlemen. That is the art of renting an exotic sports car. Have you done this? If so, let us know what you think. If not, write in and tell us which car you would rent.
Yeah, you know what? I just want to one more time say it before we completely wrap up.
Yeah.
I'm not discouraging anybody from doing it. I think it's a great idea. So you know, have at it. Tell us those stories. Let's hear what you've done.
Yes. You can write to Scott Scratch Benjamin and Ben Cheddar Bolin. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter, where we are CarStuff HSW. You should check out our brand new website, CarStuffShow.com, and you can send us an email directly. Our address is
CarStuff@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.